Take the bass line out. Uh-huh. Jiggle. Uh-huh.
Bounce.
Yeah. Let it bump.
It's the hard knock life for us. It's the hard knock life for us. Steady treat it. We get kicked. Steady keeps it. We get kicked.
Welcome back, folks, to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. This show is a convergence of mass media with Laser, Lou Air Student Radio. We're going to open up the coverage to the national coverage for the final hour of the program today. If at any time you want to join into the conversation, call the show at 253-535-7332. Once again, that number is 253-535-7332.
All right, it's my turn to provide this week's tough deal of the week. And I was worried about it because, you know, your tough deal was pretty good, Kellen. Drew's tough deal was pretty good.
We were so two for two.
There's pressure right now on me to try and, you know, provide some good content here. I was scrolling through my Instagram feed last week, and as I scrolled, I saw Bryce Harper wearing a red hat that said, "Make baseball fun again."
That'll catch some eyes.
At first glance, I was confused. I was like, what is he talking about? What does he mean? You know, he's one of baseball's biggest stars. The game is making him a millionaire. Why does he feel that that's not fun, right? So I found a couple quotes from Harper to clear up what he was talking about, because obviously, you know, people are going to write about this. So here's what Harper had to say.
Do it in your best Bryce Harper voice.
I don't even know if I have one. I don't even know what I... All right, baseball's tired. It's a tired sport because you can't express yourself. You can't do what people in other sports do. I'm not saying baseball is, you know, boring or anything like that. But it's the excitement of young guys who are coming into the game who have flair. Guys like Matt Harvey, Jacob deGrom, Manny Machado, or Jock Peterson, or Andrew McCutchen, or Yasiel Puig. There's so many guys in the game now who are so much fun. Jose Fernandez is a great example. Jose Fernandez will strike you out and stare you down into the dugout and pump his fist. And if you hit a home run and pimp it, he doesn't care. Because you got him. That's part of the game. It's not the old feeling, hurrah, if you pimp a homer, I'm going to hit you right in the teeth, you know, the next at bat. No, if a guy pimps a homer for a game-winning shot, you know, I mean, sorry. He wraps it all up with saying, if a guy pimps his fist at me on the mound, I'm going to go, yeah, you got me. Good for you. Hopefully I get you next time. You know, that's what makes the game fun. You want kids to play the game, right? What are kids playing these days? Football, basketball. Look at those players. Steph Curry, LeBron James. It's exciting to see those players in those sports. Cam Newton. I love the way Cam goes about it. He smiles, he laughs. It's that flair, the dramatic. You know, ultimately what Harper is talking about pertains to the unwritten rules of baseball. The rules that say you give your best effort all the time and you don't show anybody up. Play the game in an almost polite manner, right? Kellen, I know you're not a huge baseball guy, but, you know, from the casual fan's perspective, would players playing with more emotion increase interest, or would it even change anything?
You know, when your sport is on top, when you're king, you know, you're able to get away with risk. You know, NFL is number one, and baseball is number three to the NBA.
Right.
You can tolerate a Cam Newton, and when you're not on top, it exposes your character, and you're not really able to tolerate it. Babe Ruth would point to what part of the field he was going to hit a home run to.
Right.
Now, that's when baseball was on top. Now, that's a little too cocky for me today, but I miss the Sammy Sosa skip when he hit a home run, or the Brett Boone bat flip after home run, as well as the Ken Griffey bat slam after a bomb. You know, you're wearing a Ken Griffey shirt right now, Christian.
I am.
You need that when you play 162 games. Now, Heine is still in the studio. We still play only 9 games. Imagine 162 games. I mean, I can't even imagine. Now, obviously, it's not a contact sport, so, I mean, there's a reason why we only play 9 games, but 162 games, Christian, I really think that you need that enthusiasm, and you want to see that as a fan.
But you talk about that schedule. Does it make it tougher to be excited, to be that emotional about every single game? Say you go 0-4. I got another one tomorrow. What am I worried about? Well, I mean is that what you could fall into, you know?
I mean like you said, you know, okay, we got, you know, the Reds, we got the, you know, who do we got next? We got the Orioles. I mean, it's, you know, because there's no question. I mean, when you're in the professional level, you pinpoint games, you highlight games that are, you know, big time games. When you have 162 games, you're just kind of like, "Oh, we're playing the Yankees again." You know, they're a great team, but it's another game. You know, baseball, it's a long road trip. You know, football is, you know, get hit in the mouth. Hockey is get out there. You know, it's a slow moving sport. And I'm going to get into this real quick, Christian. I mean, I saw this the other day. You know, Adam LaRoche plays for the Chicago White Sox, bats 207, and he makes $13 million a year.
That's a lot of money for LaRoche to make. That's a lot.
To give up.
For,
right?
For 207.
Right, exactly.
You bet in 207, you get $13 million a year.
And you'll see why he gives it up in a second here, folks. In baseball, it's the downtime sport. LaRoche has a son. And his son is a teenager. His son is a locker in the clubhouse. LaRoche retires because he's not allowed to have his son be in the clubhouse and dugout at every game. Now, I support manager Kenny Williams by saying that you need to tone it down a little bit there, LaRoche, and there's a time and a place to have your kids around. I love PLU football. I love coming to practice as a kid. My dad's the head coach, but I don't overstay my welcome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go... You know, I would maybe go into a couple meetings a year, but I wouldn't sit in on those meetings because that's not really my place.
Right.
You know, this isn't take your kid to work every single day of the year, you know, 365 days out of the year. So, and in my opinion, Christian, this is the only sport that this could ever happen to. Like you said, 162 games. So LaRoche, knowing how boring this sport can be, he kind of needs his son to almost entertain him at times.
Right.
You know, to be around 24/7. And so... Like I think it just astounds me that there was a locker room, there's a locker built in the clubhouse for his son. In my opinion, you would never, ever see that in football or basketball. And, you know, we could take another 20 minutes and make an argument. Was it right for, you know, LaRoche to retire?
Yeah.
Was it right for Kenny Williams to say, hey, tone it down a little bit?
Yeah.
That's a different conversation than what we're having. But I'm just trying to make the point that, you know, a baseball player is bringing his son into the locker room every day. That doesn't happen in any other sport but baseball because of how long it is.
This Adam LaRoche story itself could have been my tough deal itself.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of variables to this Adam LaRoche story. It's a very interesting, you know, piece to walk away from $13 million because the kid can't come anymore is almost ridiculous to me.
Right.
I guaranteed baseball money is guaranteed. You see the contracts, they're getting all of that, right? Football players, you know, it's $4 million contract with $3 million in incentives, you know? Baseball, if you see, you know, 4 years for $65 million, he's making $65 million for those 4 years.
I mean, and some people can argue, you know, he's such a great parent because he's standing up for his kid. Well, isn't he standing up for his kid if he says, you know, son, you know, you're going to be here? Because in my opinion, his son is almost going to feel entitled, you know, as a kid. Hey, you know, he's got a buddy. Hey, I get to be in the White Sox, you know, clubhouse all
right.
the time. What are you doing? You got to do homework. He's homeschooled, so it's not like he's missing school.
Right.
When I first read that, I was like, okay, where's the school?
Exactly the same.
Play?
Like, how is he able to be there all the time? That
right.
doesn't make any sense.
But he's giving up. I mean, he could give his son. You know what, 13 times 3, I mean whatever that number is, I'm not a math guy, but I mean he's giving up that money, you know, just to, you know, kind of make a statement. And I guess some guys in the locker room were interviewed about it, some guys were on his side, some guys were against his side. But then it's like, what if every kid on the, what if every guy on the team brought their son or daughter to work? I mean, it'd almost be a daycare in the White Sox clubhouse. So if I'm Williams, Kenny Williams, I would stand up and say, hey, there's a time and a place to bring him in. There's a time and a place to just be the team. Because if I'm a guy on that team, Christian, I'm, you know, not to say that I, you know, am about cussing or anything like that, but I would almost have to watch every single thing I say. I wouldn't really be able to be myself, and that can kind of hinder a clubhouse, I think.
Yeah, Kenny Williams has definitely created a toxic environment. I know there's stories coming out right now about how Chris Sale has hung Adam LaRoche's jersey over his locker. Just to say I'm with him, or, you know, now we got guys picking sides on one team, and that's not good.
No.
You're
that will, you know, separate a clubhouse.
Wouldn't work on your team, would it? There's 100 guys on your team. That
right,
would be trouble.
Exactly.
You know
exactly.
what I'm saying? So.
Right, right. And you want all 25 guys on a baseball team to be on the same page. You don't want different pages,
exactly.
And there is right now in the White Sox clubhouse.
Exactly. So let's kind of get back here to talking about, you know, the unwritten rules of baseball, the emotional side of, you know, what's going on the field. Just kind of, yeah, go back to your thoughts, Callan. I mean, would it make it more fun to watch if guys were running around pumping their fists and celebrating every little thing that they did? Or do you kind of like the attitude of baseball players right now where, you know, I'm playing the game. This is part of it. I hit a home run. I run around the bases really fast, and I don't show anyone up. Like, what?
Right. Well, here's my theory.
Which do you play to?
Here's my theory. Either you have less games, you have, you know, you have 85 games, or you let them celebrate because it just 162 games and you're not allowed to have some enthusiasm. You're not allowed to be excited.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just it's unbelievable. And it's interesting because when the NBA had a lockout a couple years ago. So they only played 65 games instead of 82.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for a lot of older guys like Kobe and Tim Duncan, they loved it because they could play in all 65. They, mm-hmm. they didn't have to sit out the 82 because of how many games were being played. And so what, you know, it made NBA a little bit more exciting because 82 games is a lot of games in the NBA as well. There's, you know, LeBron, they're playing, you know, the Sacramento Kings. I said that on purpose, though, to take a shot at Drew, but who's not here, or he could be listening, but... You know, they're going to take some nights off just because, I mean, it's, you know, they're on the road against Milwaukee. You know, they're playing the 76ers, and it's an 82-game season. But when they're 65, every game matters. Mm-hmm. And so if baseball, you know, had less games, it would make it more exciting and make it more competitive. And I also think they could, you know, if they want to continue to be so strict, that's fine. But how about they play less games? Or, fine, play 162, but let them, you know, express themselves once in a while.
Right. If you truly sit down and watch baseball, there are some things that cause benches to clear and guys to push and shove on each other that should never. I think I can remember back to the playoffs. Carlos Gomez popped up in the infield and slammed his bat down because he was mad at himself. Well, the Yankee side of the, you know, their dugout did not like that he slammed his bat down. They were upset at that.
How sensitive is that?
I know. It doesn't.
I mean, I love watching guys break their bats. That thing is, I mean, that would hurt. I can't even, that's amazing that they can even do that.
Yeah, it is. But what do you think of the mindset of, you know, a pitcher that gives up a home run and the guy flips his bat or something like that, and the next time that guy's at the plate, they hit him with a 95 mile an hour fastball. You're giggling
immature
right now, but just it's immature.
It's
okay,
immature.
Expand on that then.
I mean, I think, you know, in basketball, if you and I are playing one on one, Christian,
mm-hmm.
and I hit a jumper in front of you, and it's, you know, it's wet, it's a 20-foot shot, and you're right in my face, is the next player you're gonna hit me with an elbow? You know, I mean, are you going to get mad that I made a great play on you? I mean, these pitchers, I mean, they need to be mentally tough. Yes, they gave up a home run, so you're going to hit them with a ball next? I mean, it's just like, come on.
You're going to give up a free base runner because
obviously
you're mad
at yourself. They remember that they gave up a home run, so you're probably not going to throw the same pitch, but don't be mad that they outplayed you.
Yes.
I mean, be an athlete, be a competitor, flush it, you know? And I think, I mean, you know, I don't know if this is still, I don't know, it, you know, because you remember Nomar Garciaparra, you remember Ichiro.
Sure.
They walk up to the plate and they take an hour, you know, before they'd even
right.
swing, you know, with the exchanging of the batting gloves and, you know, Ichiro doing that thing with his jersey. And I even did that when I played right field because I loved Ichiro, row number 51. You know, is there a time limit now or there's not?
There is.
Because I hope there is because that just took too long for me.
Baseball's working so hard to try to, you know, diminish the time that the game takes.
Right.
They don't want to see. It's not good. You seriously cannot sit through a 3 hour and 30 minute game.
Ugh. It's a train wreck.
It's tough to sit
there
and watch.
I mean, you got to play nine innings, though.
Yes.
I don't think you play
less
innings.
You can't shorten a game.
No. You can't shorten a game. But
So they're working hard. They're trying to make an inning clock. Between innings, they're trying to keep people moving fast.
Right.
They've inserted
almost every inning, you know, there's something on the TV screen. There, mm-hmm. you know, there's guys that are the grounds crew, they're dancing. They're trying mm-hmm. to make the game entertaining because it's such a long game.
Right.
You know, and I love that every at bat is serious. Every pitch is serious. That's why, you know, there's catchers doing the, you know, their signs and mm-hmm. it takes a while. You know, you're a baseball coach and, you know, Heine, you're a baseball fan, but I mean, it's just like there has to be something that changes, whether it's, you know, how many games that they play or letting them celebrate more.
Right. We talked last week off air, and I'm going to throw another question at you here, Kellen, but we talked last week off air about you making a catch a couple seasons ago or however long that was ago, and you followed that catch up with the Money Manziel sign. You let the crowd know, yep, I'm the man, right? Coach Westring gave you an earful about it. You know, when athletes like Cam Newton or Steph Curry or LeBron James dance while they play their sport, does that make it more appealing to young eyes? Do they look up to that and say, wow, they're having a lot of fun. I need to go play basketball right now. I need to go play football right now because
right.
they look like they're having the time of their lives.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a great question. There's a time and a place. I mean, I love emotion and I love enthusiasm, but I think, you know, obviously was the Money Manziel sign. That was, you know, that was too much. And you know, that was something that you shouldn't do. Cam Newton doing the dab. You know, Curry's thing, it's interesting watching when Curry hits a shot. He kind of does something. It looks like he's putting up to the sky. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a religious thing. So I'm okay with that. But when, you know, when I see LeBron James, you know, do that, I mean, once in a great while, I think it's okay. But when I see Kobe or MJ just do a classic fist pump, or Tiger Woods do a classic fist pump, you know, I like that because that's classy celebratory action.
Right.
That I think some people take, you know, they think that that's just, it's not enough, but that should be enough, you know. I mean, and you're playing the game of your life, you should always be smiling. That's what I love about Cam Newton. Is he's always smiling, and I think that that's underrated. I mean, you should smile when you're – and he's playing – he's getting killed. He's playing football. He's getting hit so hard, yet he's still smiling. So as a young kid, that's what you should be doing. You should be smiling. You shouldn't be dabbing. You should be loving the game. You should be fist pumping. I'm kind of old school when it comes to that kind of stuff, but do it in a classy way when you celebrate.
Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot now.
Okay.
You said baseball's either got to go to 160 – it's got to shorten their season – or they got to let him celebrate.
Right.
But you just said, you know, that kind of stuff is cool every once in a blue moon. You got to pick. Where do you side?
Yeah. I think that they need to go to less games.
Less games?
That's games my call. Less games for baseball? That's my call. And
not a bad
once
idea.
In a while, I mean, it's just like, I mean, in today's baseball, if Brett Boone flips a bat, he'll get, what will happen? What would happen to that?
He could get brushed back off the plate the next time he's up at the bat.
Okay.
He could get.
So it's not like MLB is like, he's going to get fined or anything like that.
There's
it's
no just, fines. They settle it
it's
on the
just
field.
Okay. Which, they settle
you
on the
know,
field.
You, some could call immature. Yeah. Some could call old school.
I mean, if Brett Boone's doing that every time and I'm a pitcher, yeah, I'll get a little bit annoyed. You know,
right.
I won't give a rip about this guy anymore. But if once in a while he does it, he gets a great hit, you know, just let it go, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's got to be part of that game.
But less games. I mean, you're a baseball guy. What would you think about that? You're a coach as well. I mean.
Yeah. My favorite, to me, baseball really heats up that second week of July. The trade deadline is normally around July 31st. So, you know, if your team's in it at June, you could start to get excited about possible trades that bring new guys in, which is almost like a whole new season in my mind. You get excited about stuff like that. If they're out of it, even last year, the Mariners were out of it. I was begging them to trade Asashi Wakuma away. They didn't do it, right? I was trading them, you know, I wanted them to make more trades because, you know, the prospects could come in and they could get better and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's, kind of for me, that's kind of when the season starts to get super exciting.
Right.
And then the playoff races start to develop after that.
And opening day's exciting. Opening week's exciting.
Right.
You know, the field's cut perfectly. I
it's
mean,
brand new again.
The hot dogs are fresh. Not that they're not fresh, but just everything's more fun. You know what I mean?
And it's
I
brand
think,
new again. No, that's a great
But then
point.
It gets into June and you're just like, okay, like, can we get to, you know, the playoffs now? And, mm-hmm. and I mean, I don't know when baseball, I don't know why it's 182. Why is it that specific number? And that's such an interesting question you can ask for, excuse me, any professional sport. Why is it 82 games? Why is it 16 for NFL?
Yeah.
But I just think, oh my gosh, like why? And when the Mariners had the sweet 116 run, baseball was awesome. So I guess, you know, you could, I mean, maybe I'm just upset that the Mariners aren't very good and
that
it's a long,
it, that,
we have to
fair.
Suffer through those long seasons and long games. But I mean, if the Yankees are really good, am I loving that there's 162 games? Maybe. So maybe I'm realizing that as I'm speaking.
Yeah. So would you, if you have decided just from this little conversation right there, this kind of, let's wrap up this tough deal segment here. If you have to side with a way of thinking, they don't shorten the season. You have to side with the old school of, oh, you hit a home run and I didn't like how you acted after it. I'm going to hit you with a
and
pitch.
And they're going to play 162 games.
They're playing
games.
The full season. Okay. You know, I don't like how you reacted after you hit a home run off me. Here's a fastball in your hip. Or do you like allowing players to not show off? That's not the right word. But, you know,
right.
bat flip, fist pump, celebrate big catches, celebrate double plays, stuff like that.
Yeah,
where do you side?
I want them to celebrate in a classy way. Is a bat flip really cocky, in my opinion? That's not really cocky. I mean, what's really cocky is pointing, you know, like what Babe Ruth would do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's extremely cocky to have a bat. I think it's kind of talented that you can bat flip. That's kind of cool that they can do that. But, I mean, or a fist pumper. But, you know, when, you know, like I said, Ken Griffey would slam it down. That's just, it's not like over the top, in my opinion.
Right.
I mean, when Kobe hits a, you know, or, you know, even Kobe sometimes can be a little bit over the top with all of his looks. But that's Kobe. That makes him who he is. So, I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen anybody in baseball like do something that's like, oh my gosh, only do that one time. You know what I mean? I can't think of what you can really do that's celebratory in baseball.
Yeah.
That's like, okay, like annoying the dab or whatever, because that's just slamming the bat on the ground. So I just think they should do a classy, they should be able to do classy,
right,
you know, celebratory things. And for some reason, these pitchers get so sensitive that,
right,
oh my gosh, you know, Arthur Rhodes has these earrings in. I don't like Arthur Rhodes now, so I'm going to try to get in a fight with him. You know, it's just like, baseball players are kind of sensitive, but maybe, and just maybe, this could be a theory, 162 games, they're brainwashed, and they have nothing else to do but try to pick fights.
Right. I mean, it could be there. Both way of thinking, the new school and the old school way of thinking, are right. I had an argument with my roommate last night. He says, yeah, you should hit a guy if he's showing you up after he hits a home run. I'm like, wait a minute, that's part of it. You can get a hold of one of your pitches. You leave a mistake out there.
Just like my theory, if I hit a jumper over you, are you just going to get really upset? I mean,
yeah, it does. It's
granted,
weird.
A home run and a jump shot's a little bit different, you know, but still, it's making a great play over somebody. Why can't you just flush it? Because you're, okay, if he strikes you out next time, is the batter going to say, hey, you know, screw you? No, you got, screw you. No, you just got owned, so face it.
Yes.
You know, and move
on.
And
do better the next time.
Why can't they do that?
I don't know. We'll see what happens in the future.
It's a great tough deal, Christian. Seriously, we're 3-for-3 on these tough deals.
It's a good time. Drew is going to be up the next time we have one of these in a couple weeks. So
I know. I think I'm up now.
Oh, you want up?
Yeah. Well, isn't it me? That's right.
You bring yours.
Because I originally had the All-Star games, and he had, you know, the one and done. You had the baseball. And now I'm
fantastic.
Up in a couple
you're
weeks.
Up. So you get 2 weeks to think about this, because we're going to take a break. We got spring break coming up.
It better
up.
Be really good then.
Speaking of breaks, though, we're going to take a short break right now. When we come back, we're going to go over some Mariners baseball. This is Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 2.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
Welcome back, sports fans, to Mass Radio Sports Talk, brought to you by 2.5 Athletes. We want you to call into the show and to join in on the conversation. The number to do that is 253-535-7332. Again, 253-535-7332. Gosh, Chris, it's been a great show. Aaron Gunther, the head athletic trainer, was in studio, as well as Heine, an EMAL football player for Pacific Lutheran University, and Christian with an unbelievable tough deal. If baseball is able to be a little bit more exciting. Now, Christian, you're going to take away with some Seattle's Mariner infield.
Yeah, let's talk little Mariners infield. We talked starting pitching 2 weeks ago. We talked bullpen last week. So now I guess it's time to talk about the infield. The team is well in the spring training already, as you know. This week we'll focus on the infielders. The infield is another area which is pretty much set for the season. Kyle Seager is going to be over at third base. Ketel Marte will be the shortstop. Obviously, the man, Robinson Cano, will play second base. And the new addition in veteran Adam Lind will be at first base. Kellen, last week I asked you about, you know, what it's like when there are several new faces on a sports team, or, you know, you have a big senior class, they graduate 28 or whatever, and
right,
all of a sudden we got to get used to building relationships with these guys and them playing on the field and all that stuff. This week I want to know, you know, what if it gives a team more confidence when there are several guys returning to the team, you know, kind of what it's like when you know you have a big group of returners.
Yeah. Well, I think there's two possibilities, Christian, because I think there's an obvious one. Obviously, yes, it gives you confidence that guys are returning. That's an
right,
obvious one.
Right.
So, you know, there's that. But here's a theory I kind of want to take, too. You know, when you have a lot of guys returning the following year, in my opinion, I believe that there's been teams that have underachieved. And the reason is because they said, oh, we got guys coming back. We don't got to work as hard.
You get complacent.
You get stagnant. And I think that, you know, I've been on teams where that's happened. You know, my senior year of high school, you know, I went to Rogers and Puyallup. We had basically our whole core group of guys coming back. But guys knew that, and they knew that we were going to be good again. And so they said, you know what, we don't need to work as hard in the offseason. Whereas you have a team that really struggles and have a lot of guys graduate, and you're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now, you know? And you work a lot harder because you know that you got to be able to step up. And so there's that kind of tit for tat, you know, hey, you know, should I do it? Should I not do it? And so I think that's an interesting theory, Christian. And I really believe some teams have done that. They said, you know what, you know, we got guys coming back. Let's not work as hard. And then they go 500 when they should be undefeated, where, you know, you have a team that graduates a bunch of guys, but guys step up. you know, they continue that legacy, they reload, not rebuild, and they also have a great year. So in my opinion, man, it'd be interesting to kind of look at, you know, some statistics about that. But obviously, yes, there's a lot more confidence when you got guys coming back. But then at the same time, it can also hurt your work ethic in the off season.
But how about when you have that massive number of returners, but they have a down year the year before, or they do not perform to, you know.
Oh, then they should be hungry. And is it what you're getting? That's what they're under. That's kind of where they are. I hope they are.
had a great year in 2014, had a really bad year in 2015. Right. So now the team has been rebuilt. A lot of returners in the infield, a lot of returners in starting pitching. Everywhere else is pretty much different, though. So,
well, it's funny. I mean, and we didn't even write this in the script. I can almost really relate the Mariners to PLU football.
Right.
You know, 2 years ago, we had a great team. We were 7-2 this past year. Flip it around, 2-7. Now, how do we respond? We're very, very hungry. We got a lot of guys returning. We have no excuses. Mm-hmm. So the Mariners are kind of in that same boat, Christian.
Absolutely. As I said earlier, Adam Lind is the new face in the infield. He's a proven veteran left-handed hitter. Which are all good things. I'll take more left-handed hitters. I'll take more proven veterans. You know, we know what we're going to get out of Adam Lind. In 10 MLB seasons, Lind has a batting average of .274 with 228 doubles and 166 home runs. So from that, you can kind of guess that he's a gap-to-gap hitter. He makes good contact, sprays the ball all over the yard. 2016 projections have him finishing with a batting average of .280 with 29 doubles and 17 home runs. Now, in this lineup, he's going to be hitting behind guys like Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz, Kyle Seager. With numbers like that, he's going to get a chance to drive in a great amount of runs. He's
right.
going to be real big for this team. Personally, you know, this is going to shift change a little bit here. I'm excited to have anybody but Logan Morrison playing first base on a regular basis for the Mariners.
Sorry, Logan.
Not a big Logan Morrison fan. He hit 225. Not like he did. He hit 225 last season, which is so low for a first baseman in the American League. It's ridiculous. I was at a game last year where I saw Logan Morrison forget that he was at bat. He was hanging over the rail in the dugout. He was supposed to be on deck, never was. It was time for him. It was his turn to hit, and he just sat there and looked around. How do you forget that it's your turn to bat? It doesn't make any. It's on the scoreboard. There's a huge scoreboard in center field. How do you not see that? What are you doing right now?
Plus, there's a sheet, you know, in the dugout that says when you're up. What
there's
position
opportunity.
You're playing.
There are opportunities everywhere to see when it's your turn to hit. How do you miss that?
I mean, and I can attest that to Christian because baseball is boring.
Oh, that's the route you're gonna go.
You know what I mean?
Because I was gonna ask you, can you justify going brain neutral during a game?
I mean, in football, you know, you got four quarters. You know, at the Division III level, well, basically college, you never really go both ways. You play one side of the football, so
right. You're
itching to get on the field. You know exactly when you're going to go on the field. In baseball, again, 9 innings, 162 games. I'm sure there's a lot of stories of guys like Morrison forgetting, oh my gosh, I'm up. You know what I mean? So that's kind of what I would attest it to, Christian, is just the, you know, how boring at times baseball can be. 60 games of spring training, 162 games in the regular season. And I'm not trying to make an excuse for Morrison. There's no excuse. I mean, you should know when you're up to bat. You're a professional. You're getting paid to bat.
To yeah.
You should not be forgetting that you're up to bat. But again, you can make the argument that baseball is just so slow moving, you know, that he just said, you know what, I'm just going to kind of go into tunnel vision and, you know, I should be up soon. Oh, wait, you're actually up now. But obviously he forgot that.
It was crazy to me. It was crazy to watch. The real drama for the Mariners, though, is going to be for the role of that backup right-handed hitting first baseman. You know, having a guy that can hit left-handed against right-handed pitchers, then having a guy that can hit right-handed against left-handed pitchers is kind of the way that baseball has gone, kind of that platoon type idea.
Mm-hmm.
Having a right-handed first baseman gives the team an opportunity to play the matchup game. There's three candidates for the spot right now. Jesus Montero tore it up in AAA Tacoma last year. He batted .355 with 18 doubles and 18 home runs. There's one dilemma to Jesus Montero. His defense isn't really there yet, so he kind of has one position, and it's hitter, and that's tough to get on a field, right? He's also out of minor league options, meaning that if he isn't the one that they pick to be on the 25-man roster come opening day, the Mariners have the option to designate him for assignment, meaning that any team has 10 days to pick him up. So the Texas Rangers, if he doesn't make that opening day roster, the Texas Rangers can go, oh, Jesus Montero's available. Jesus, come play for us. They have that choice, right? If he doesn't produce, will the team be willing to risk him or not? It's an interesting dilemma. It's fun to watch play out. Deho Lee was signed as competition for the right-handed hitting first baseman role. Lee is a Korean. He's 34 years old. He has toured up his whole life in Korea and Japan in those baseball leagues. In Japan, Lee was the most valuable player.
That's, I think, where Ichiro started, actually.
Yeah, he played a lot overseas in his home countries. Lee was the league's most valuable player in 2010, and he's a three-time batting champion. So the guy can get it done with the stick, right? His glove work has been impressive. You know, you can go on Mariners.com. You can see highlights of him making diving plays at first base and all that stuff. So it creates an interesting dynamic. You have this guy who's never played Major League Baseball before, but he's proven in other places. Do you want to pick him as the guy that backs up and is that right-handed first baseman, or do you want to risk losing a 20-something-year-old first baseman who has potential, but he doesn't have any options left, so you can't make that choice to send him to Tacoma for more time? They're between a rock and a hard place right here.
Right.
The final guy they brought in is Stephen Romero out of Oregon State. Right-handed hitter. He's played outfield all of his career. They moved him over to first base to create more competition, so they're making it harder on themselves, really, in my view. Moving him to first base, however, creates versatility for him as a player. He kind of, you know, you can kind of see that more. There's more value there. He can play multiple positions. He's batting .480 through spring training through the first couple of weeks so far, which is impressive. He's off to a really hard start.
.480 is an amazing batting average.
It's fantastic, right? Romero does have a minor league option, though, which ultimately I think will be a reason why he starts in Tacoma rather than with the big club in Seattle.
And I'm okay with that.
Right.
I mean, you know, work your way up, earn it. You know.
Right, right. You
haven't A-Rod played. Started there. Ken Griffey started there.
Exactly. You haven't played first base before. Maybe you go to Tacoma, you learn how to play first base, and you come up to the major leagues and produce, you know, better than you would have maybe as a left fielder or not.
I mean, it's no question. It's an interesting dilemma, you know, but there are still, you know, some more changes on this roster. Christian, what else has Jerry Dipoto done?
Moving behind the plate, Jerry Dipoto brought in two new catchers, brought in Chris Iannetta from the Angels, his previous employer. He brought in Steve Clevenger, who's a left-handed hitting catcher, who is extremely valuable. That's extremely valuable in my mind because it gives you a reason to sit down your primary catcher. You know, catchers need breaks. That schedule is ridiculous, and having them catch, you know, 120 of those 162 games is too much. So you got to have two guys who are, you know, capable of doing the job. Having a left-handed and right-handed bat, you know, gives you options, which is a great thing. But that leaves out Mike Zunino, who's been with the ball club the last 3 years. He's going to start the season in AAA Tacoma. They said that in like October. They were, you know, this is where he's going. He's going to start here. Zunino is 24 years old. In my opinion, he was rushed to the major leagues. And you could say the same for guys like Dustin Ackley, guys like Brad Miller, who were young talent. People thought highly of them. And then because the Mariners weren't great, they were rushed right up to the major leagues. Mm. And their performance, you know, Dustin Ackley hasn't been great ever, in my opinion.
No. He's had spurts, but not consistent.
Yes. The same with Brad Miller. Brad Miller's been good for 2 weeks. And then right now, if you read about what he's doing in Tampa Bay, he can't throw the ball to first base. That's not his offense. It's his defense. But still, you know, how come you're not making throws to first base? It's just, it's these weird little things with these guys. One of the things I think the fans have to understand is it's not the end of the world for Mike Zunino. You know, if you look at teams, let's just go team-wide approach. The Pittsburgh Pirates, from 2005 through 2011, they didn't lose any less than 90 games. Like 6 years there where they're losing 90 games a year. That's terrible. That's not fun to be a fan of.
No.
You know what I'm saying? You know, the Pirates now are contenders for, you know, World Series almost every single year. Since 2013, they've been there. They've been, you know.
They're a different ball club than, you know, those 6 years.
But they had
5-11.
My point is they had to be bad for a while, right? Mike Zunino could go down to AAA for the next 2 years. And when he comes back to the major leagues, he's 26. That's still plenty of life in a baseball player. That's when
most guys
enter their peak right there.
Exactly.
26 to 32, that's the best you're going to get out of any guy.
Yep. That's the right time to come up.
Exactly. So with him going back down to Tacoma, fans need to realize, you know, people who observe need to realize it's okay for him. He could go learn how to hit and be better and be so much better because defensively he's a superstar behind the plate.
Right.
People love what he does with his glove. However, he's been such a bad hitter that it's not worth putting that good a defender out there because it's just an out when he gets up to the plate. So, you know, have some patience with Mike Zunino, fans. You could see him again in 2 years, maybe even three, and he's all of a sudden a superstar, but it's going to take that time for him to redevelop how to hit, and that's where we're at right now.
Again, Christian, it's been fun, man. This baseball stuff is unbelievable. Every week you bring it. It's, folks, I'm telling you, Christian knows what he's talking about when he's doing baseball. Now, Christian, you do the broadcast for the baseball games this weekend.
Yep.
They play Whitman.
They got Whitman in a three-game series doubleheader on Saturday. I think the games start at 12 and 3, and then on Sunday the games start at noon. So
start at noon. And
tune in.
I talked to Tanner Bogart yesterday, and he got to play against – they had a tough loss. I think it was 12-1 on Wednesday against the Loggers. Obviously, yeah. Very, very tough loss. So they're very, very frustrated. But Tanner got to – you know, he got to play, got to start that game, which
is
great.
Can I throw my 2 cents in on that?
What was that?
It's a non-league game, right?
Right.
Nolan Sotey didn't send out his number ones. He kind of mixed it up. He took advantage of that to learn. Mm-hmm. He learned – you know, he sent out his freshman and sophomore pitchers. He learned what they were like.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
UPS played it as a league game. They played all their number ones, and they just whooped up on the Lutes. But that
right.
score isn't indicative of what their series, when it means something for a league. It is not indicative
okay,
of
well,
what that series
to
is going
to
be.
That is huge. That's
yes.
good insight there, Christian.
Yes, yes, yes.
But, I mean, just your thoughts real quick. Obviously, Whitman's not very good in the standings, at least. You know,
yeah.
So.
The Lutes have played well at home this year. I mean, every game I've seen them play, I think they're like 5-1 at home. So a great record at home. They know that they're better than how they're playing. You know, I think they're 10-11 right now, and they know they're a better ball club than that.
Only lost 14 games last season.
I know. So they're 3 games away from losing as many as they lost last year.
Right.
Which is crazy. They didn't really graduate that many people. We talked about that 2 seconds ago.
What does
know?
That mean exactly?
I think this would be a great series for POU to, you know, play well.
Get that confidence
gain some confidence back yeah. and attack the last half of the season and make some noise in conference play.
Absolutely. So, folks, we're going to take a quick short break. When we come back, we're going to take a look about March Madness and take a look at some of our brackets here, possibly get Drew on the phone. We'll see if that's possible. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. Welcome back, sports fans, to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. This show is a convergence of mass media with Laser, Lou Air Student Radio. We are going to take a call from my buddy Drew Artisoni and talk a little bit about Division I men's basketball tournament. Folks, we wish we had a live stream because we have the lovely Lacey Nicholson in studio. Heine is still sticking around. He loves being here, so we're very, very excited to have these two in studio. Hopefully have Lacey in for an interview in the next couple weeks here. But Christian, you're up, bud.
Hey, Drew, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. I'm sorry I couldn't be with you guys in the studio today. I had some family stuff to take care of in Texas.
I can't hear Drew, Christian. I can't hear him.
Hold on. We're having a little technical difficulty.
Drew, compete. Folks, Drew's in Texas right now. It's where his dad lives. He's over there right now. But we're not quite getting him through the signal.
Try again, Drew.
Yeah, guys, I'm doing some family stuff out here in Texas.
Folks, you got to love live TV. So, you know, I made a bracket. I took a picture of it on my phone because my house in Parkland, we have a very sacred bracket, Christian, where we have four brackets up, four guys live in the house, and a lot of guys picked, you know, one guy picked Yale with the upset last night. He was the only guy that picked Yale, Christian. His name's Brady Daly. Got to give him a lot of credit because I did not see Yale winning last night, Christian. So what a big win for Yale. And I just got the news, I guess, you know, we got to love our ESPN News updates here from Heine.
Can you hear us?
Oregon State also lost today, and that's tough because I had Oregon State winning, and so that was very, very tough. Big Corvallis guy, got to love the local kind of stuff. So I got Michigan State winning, Christian, and so that's a very, very tough deal because right now they're losing. And so, I mean, Michigan State's losing 41-35. That's where we got our last update there from Heine. And so I'm kind of sweating right now because I got Michigan State winning. I got them winning the tournament, Christian. So
they're
41-35, they're down. I mean, this is what March Madness is all about. It's all about upsets. To my credit, I did have UConn beating Colorado, which was awesome because
I didn't think that was an upset. I had them too.
You had them too.
Well,
Colorado, they played well in the Pac-12 though. I got to give them some credit. So they obviously UConn with a big win there, and I like to pick legacy programs. So Syracuse, I don't know if they've won today, Heine. You can get on that. They did win today, Heine. They did win. So Syracuse, that's awesome because they were down by about 8, I think, in the first half at one point. So Aaron did not have Syracuse winning. So it's good to see some of my picks are kind of starting to, you know, service themselves here. But obviously, you know, Christian, the biggest one, I think, is Arizona. Arizona. Yeah. I had them going to my Sweet 16.
I think I probably did too. I picked Arizona and over Wichita State, but you know, sometimes that team that plays the play-in game, they got one game in under their belt. They got the ball rolling there. They took advantage of it.
And honestly, Arizona, like I said, I had them going to my Sweet 16. And Christian, I don't know if you watched the game last night. You know, Lacey, I don't know if you guys watched the game last night. But their head coach, I don't quite have his name in front of me here, but he sweated more than I think I've ever sweated in my whole life. I mean, I think he had to change about three or four shirts during the game. Just an unbelievable, unbelievable game for Arizona last night. And it's just too bad they couldn't quite pull through. No question about it. Arizona has been better in the past. But they had some great alumni come through. Mike Bibby, Luke Walton, guys like that. So Arizona's not quite in the tournament anymore. But Christian, who do you have winning your tournament?
I had Kansas winning the whole thing.
So I got Kansas, UNC, Duke, and Michigan State
now,
in my final four.
I believe if I could, I don't have mine in front of me. I filled mine out like Thursday morning as soon as I woke up because I knew I had to get those picks in.
Did you have coffee in you or were you even awake?
I was putting the coffee in me as I was filling out this bracket.
Okay.
I have Kansas winning the whole thing. Obviously, they're making it out of their region.
And that's, let's start with Kansas. Kansas, traditional.
Right.
Basically, every game by tradition, they've won. Bill Self, an amazing coach. They don't really have a lot of big name players this year, but sometimes I think in those traditional powerhouses, you just need guys that'll get the job done. Christian's still trying to get Drew on the air. You got to love it, folks. He's determined and bound to get him on the air here. But, you know, Christian, obviously, why did you pick Kansas?
You know, this is the tournament right now. The one seeds in the tournament are the weakest they have ever been, meaning that
I agree.
Those number one seeds have lost more than any other number
Virginia
one seeds.
Virginia as a number one seed?
They've all lost more than they've all lost more than any other team ever. So I don't think I have Oregon making it out as a number one seed. I don't think I have Virginia making it out.
I got Oregon losing in the second round.
I think I might too. Who would they eventually
play
in the second round?
If I can kind of do the zoom, this is so classic here, folks. Thanks for staying with us. I got them losing to Duke. Actually, so I got them in the Sweet 16. My fault. So I think they're going to beat St. Joe's, and I got them losing to Duke. I also have Duke in my Final Four. Christian, do you have Duke in your Final Four?
I can't remember right now. I'm trying to pull up Drew right now. This is crazy.
Folks, Christian is just competing. I love it. His face is getting red, bless his heart, but he's trying to get Drew on the air here. You got to love it. So, yeah, I just think, again, by tradition, Duke is obviously they deserve to be in there. They haven't been as good as they have in the past. You know, but, again, Coach K is one of those coaches where he can kind of put a team together if he needs to. And then Michigan State, like I said, they're down right now. Heine, do you have the updated score on that one? Half, so they're down by six. That's just, you know, the score. The so it's still 41-35 at halftime. They're down by six. I love their head coach. I love what he stands for. And again, just kind of like, you know, Kansas, they don't really have a lot of big names. And so, but they're all playing for each other. They don't really care about who gets the limelight and stuff like that. Do you have North Carolina in there, Christian, in your final four?
I do not. For some reason, when I did this at 8 a.m. on Thursday morning, I picked Wisconsin to get hot. And ooh, Wisconsin travels all the way to the Final Four. I did not pick UNC to make it into the Final Four. I don't know how I can justify that because I was so engrossed with covering PLU basketball that I really didn't pay that much attention to college ball. The Division I scene was more paying attention to our PLU men. Hopefully they would have made their way into the tournament, but they did not.
Right.
I just kind of filled this in and went for it. That's why we were hoping to get Drew on here.
Right.
Because Drew knows. Drew says he's perfect. The only game he did not pick was that Yale game. He had Baylor over Yale, but every other game he picked, which is impressive because I think Little Rock, Arkansas,
yeah,
beat some big. Who did they beat yesterday?
I'm not sure who they beat. You have that, Heine? Who Little Rock beat? Purdue. They beat Purdue.
I definitely had Purdue over Little Rock.
I did
Rock.
Too. Gosh, I don't think I'm gonna Texas A&M though. I like A&M, but I had them losing to Oklahoma. Oklahoma's a good team this year.
I do. I think I might have Oklahoma in my. I do have Oklahoma in my final four.
I got them in there my Elite Eight. Obviously, some alumni that have been there. Blake Griffin, you know, they have one really good player. I don't quite have his name in front of me. He's a stud though. What was that?
Buddy Hield.
Thanks, Heine. Buddy Hield is a stud for them. I think he'll probably go in the top 10 in the first round of the NBA draft. So he's a big time player for him. North Carolina, you said you have them in your Elite Eight, Christian?
I think I have. Yeah, I have them playing Wisconsin as soon as they could.
So Wisconsin,
which would be like the Elite Eight.
They were so good last year. And
maybe that's why
a lot of guys graduated.
I have no idea.
A lot of guys graduated from them.
Frank Kaminsky.
Yep.
Sam Decker.
Who's honestly, that's like my celebrity lookalike. Can you see it? Dude, Sam Decker, you got to pull. It might be worth pulling up a Google clip real quick. That's like my celebrity lookalike. He's looking guy.
We'll talk about it after the show.
But you know, and I have Xavier also in my Elite Eight. Do you have them? Xavier's coach is such a stud. I don't have his name in front of me either, but he's been there about 15 years, and he's just all of his interviews, Christian. He's so poised, and I think he does a good job leading that group of men. But honestly, if Michigan State loses today, and who are they playing, Heine? I'm sorry. They're playing Middle Tennessee.
How are they losing to Middle Tennessee?
Dude, March Madness.
Madness.
And I think, you know, we have about 10 minutes left here on the air, folks. Christian, we can spend about 10 minutes on this topic. If there wasn't March Madness in college basketball, dude, how boring would college basketball be?
Something I heard yesterday on the radio is that there were talks about expanding this tournament to 98 teams, which would not make it worth watching at all. Anyone could get into the tournament.
I've been missing a lot of class for that.
Anyone could get into the tournament. It wouldn't mean nearly as much when they would have these crazy upsets, and it would just...
Exactly. And that's why I love when they have the camera on teams when they're waiting to see if they're going to get in. The excitement, the expression. I mean, those are things that you'll never forget. And like you said, if there's 98 teams, you won't quite get that when there's 64, because that's a little bit more sacred, harder to get into. It means more.
It definitely takes away how special this tournament is for fans, for players, for all of that stuff. And 98 teams would be way too many.
LSU, Ben Simmons, in my opinion, should go number one. Do you agree with that?
In the NBA draft?
In the NBA draft. Ben Simmons is a freshman, 19-10-5 is what he averaged. Only a few guys have ever done that.
That'll work for me. Yeah, you can go number one. I don't know who's going to have the number one pick, but yeah.
I think it'll probably be the Lakers or the 76ers, and I'm okay. I'm a Lakers fan. You know, once Kobe retires, I won't quite be as a biggest fan as I was when, you know, he was playing, obviously. But but like I said, I mean, these one and dones, Christian, are making making college basketball not very, very exciting. And so I think if, you know, we talked a little bit about last week about the one and dones, should they stay, should they not stay? But this March Madness is very, and it's one of those things, and it was so fun. So I watched Colin Cowherd today, Heine, you'll appreciate this. He compared March Madness, you know, it's all about the vibe. You know, Lacey, you and John, you guys vibe, right? You guys have been dating for a while. I'm not quite sure how long you guys have been dating for, but you vibe, right? Lacey, you can even go on the mic real quick. She doesn't want to. That's fine.
All right, we'll work
She'll
that
be
in.
Here in a couple of weeks. She's got a great face for radio. Bless her heart.
Wow.
That's always a great line. I got to say that to every guest we have. But Christian, have you ever been to the Rainforest Cafe?
I've walked past it several times.
You never went in?
No.
Have you guys ever been to the Rainforest Cafe? The Rainforest Cafe? Oh my gosh. All right, so the Rainforest Cafe, it's in South Center. I don't think it's in, nope, not in the Tacoma or Puyallup or South Hill Mall, but Rainforest Cafe, right?
Right.
The vibe there is unbelievable. I mean, it's just, there's, I mean, Christian, if you can real quick, can you pull up some pictures of the Rainforest Cafe for
Man,
us?
Man, they can't see the pictures, just talk
about
it.
I know,
but
I need you guys to buy in because you guys don't really know where I'm going with this. None of you have been to the Rainforest Cafe. So the Rainforest Cafe, folks, real quick. It's a restaurant, and you're basically like you're in a forest. Look at those pictures, guys. It's so cool. The ambiance is unbelievable. There's monkeys hanging from the ceilings. There's fake rain. There's mist. I mean, it's keep going. No, keep going, Christian. Look at those. Look at these other pictures that they have here, folks.
Oh, this is phenomenal, folks. Many bright colors.
Those of you that are listening, I hope you've been to the Rainforest Cafe because you'll be able to understand what I'm talking about. Anyways, the Rainforest Cafe is an amazing vibe, right? The food there, it's okay. It's average. Average chicken strips, average barbecue sauce. It's not great. You don't go there for the food. You go there just for the ambiance, for the excitement.
Okay.
You know, your waiters, they bring you a fortune cookie at the end. It's fun, right?
Right.
It's a fun vibe. College basketball, it's not the best basketball, but it's a fun vibe. And that's why people get into it. It's not these best. I mean, Johnny Appleby for the UW Huskies isn't a great basketball player, in my opinion, but it's March Madness when he hits a three. It's a lot of fun. Jimmer Fredette, J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick's still having an amazing year in the NBA, but it's not like these guys that are playing college basketball, at least right now. There's not a lot of big names, but it's just the ambiance. It's how much fun it is. It's the Rainforest Cafe. It's average chicken strips, but it's the ambiance, Christian. That's where I'm going with that, guys.
That was well put. That was very good freestyle right there.
I can't
believe
you haven't been to the Rainforest Cafe.
I've walked past it several times. I know that
you got to go in, man.
There's the alligator on the outside. Everything's all cool, right?
Paul Blart, Mall Cop. There's a scene, if you guys have seen that movie, in the Rainforest Cafe. It's one of my favorite scenes because of that restaurant. So I don't go there anymore, but it's a great place for kids, folks, if you have kids.
Finishing up here on this March Madness stuff, I saw this morning that they're, you know, 0.1% of anyone that filled out a bracket on ESPN.com is still alive. That means everyone else, the 99.9% of people who filled out a bracket for ESPN.com, are out of the running for this tournament.
Point one is still alive?
That's it.
Oh, my gosh.
And it'll be over when Michigan State loses here in a couple minutes because everyone picked Michigan. They were the most picked team to win the whole thing. So if Michigan State loses, it's over. No one will win the whatever prize that they're putting up there.
And Jay-Z had $500,000 invested in this.
It's super easy.
I'm also a part of that. I'm just kidding.
It's super easy to put that much money on it. Say it's safe odds, man. This is incredibly tough to predict.
And that and to think about, it'd be so interesting to see how many people made a bracket. You know what I mean? I mean, it's so fun. So, I mean, get this. Just to explain how big of a impact college basketball March Madness has, right?
On the country, yeah. Everyone fills one out.
I forget my bracket, right? I got to go back and get it right before the show started, right?
Right.
Driving back to my house. Our landlord is one of my good friend's dads. I see him maybe twice a year.
Right.
He's in the house. He's working on a table because we need to get it fixed, right?
Right.
I walk in, and the first thing he says is, "Did you hear about Arizona?" He doesn't say, "Hi, Kellen." He doesn't say, "Hey, man, it's good to see you. Did you hear about..." So it's just like, that's how big of an impact college basketball has.
It consumes the country
right now. It takes over the conversations. Not, "Hey, Trey, it's been 6 months since I've seen you." You know, it's, "Hey, did you hear about Arizona?" Because he knows I'm invested. He's invested. And so it's so cool to see the impact college basketball March Madness has had on the country, Christian.
Yeah, it's wild. It's a great time of year. We got baseball starting up. We got college basketball wrapping up. We're about done here on Mass Sports Radio, however.
You know, it's been a fun show. Aaron Gunther was in studio.
Right.
So fun to have him in there. Heine is still in studio.
Heine loves it.
What a stud. He'll be back soon. We got the lovely Lacey Nicholson, who will be on in a couple weeks. We're so excited to get her on the show. And in 2 weeks, Lord willing, so actually we're going to take, obviously, we've got spring break coming up.
Taking some time off.
Our next show is going to be April 8th.
I believe so, yes.
That's the first day of spring football practice for the football team for Pacific Lutheran University. Lord willing, we'll be able to get my dad, Scott Westring, on the show.
The head coach of POU football will be in here? In the world will we land that interview?
I think I know.
That's going to take some work.
I think I know him. I talked to him a couple days ago.
All right.
He's a stud. And so he'll be on the show. That'll be fun. And so, folks, we apologize for not being able to get Drew on the phone. He's in Texas. And, you know, Christian, it was awesome. If we had a live stream, Christian was working his butt off to try to get him on the air, but we couldn't quite do that, folks. So, again, thank you so much for listening. We're just about done. Sports Talk Radio presented by 2.5 athletes, or I guess 1.5 athletes today.
We couldn't even get
Drew on the show. But, folks, make sure to listen to Laser all weekend to hear the cool shows throughout the weekend. Christian will get the podcast up soon. Today's been so much fun. I'm Kellen Westring.
And I'm Christian Bond. Thanks for tuning in. Tune in next Friday from 11, or not next Friday, April 8th. We just talked about that.
I wish next Friday. That's my birthday.
Oh, see, we can't even have a birthday show for you? That's rough.
Too soon.
That's rough. All right. Tune in on April 8th from 11 to 1 p.m. to hear Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. We're out of here. See ya.